Blog Talk Radio.
Better babe. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I wanna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I wanna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine in love together.
From a broken heart, life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside. They're tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
God must have had a plan. Placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl.
Diamond in the rough.
We gon' shine in love together.
We gon' shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.
You're a diamond in the rough.
And I'm here to make it better.
Here for you, baby.
You're a diamond in the rough.
Oh,
we gon' shine in love together.
What's up, world? You just tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey. I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. I just want to say to everyone, Happy New Year. I hope you had a blessed holiday season. I hope you reconciled with some people. I hope you showed love, and some people have showed you love, because that's what it was all about, and it still is all about. Just because the holiday is over doesn't mean we just go back to doing things the same way. We have some new resolutions and some things that we want to change on this year. With the help of God, we can do that. And so I just want to say thank you to everyone that has supported Diamonds in the Rough on last year, 2014, in any form, shape, or fashion. I want to thank all my radio host friends that's out there. You know who you all are, all the producers, all my friends that have had a part in helping Diamonds in the Rough and supporting. I just want to say thank you to you, all the people who've come out and supported our events, all the people who tuned into the radio show and have read our column, people we've interviewed throughout the entire year. We'll be approaching the fifth year come April 23rd for this particular broadcast. We are now at a little over 8,700 listeners. We had an awesome show on love with Dr. Streeter the last time I was on, which was a month ago, a little less than a month ago. And today we are going to be talking about the rose that grew from the concrete. And Diamonds in the Rough is a name because, you know, of so many people that are going through situations, have been through situations, come through hard times, have overcome, or pushing forward to get to that, because there is something special within all of us. We just have to recognize it. And I love what this man does in working with the youth in the community. And I think it's a wonderful thing because it's not an easy task, especially when you are pulling those diamonds out of the rough, because it takes a while, it's a process for that rough stuff to fall off of you. And, you know, with my program, it's finding your faith and finding the Spirit of God within to help you do that. And so I just want to bless all the kids that have been a part of Diamonds in the Rough. And I say thank you. You keep striving. Keep doing the very best that you can. And for those who may not think that things can change or get better, they can. You know, just don't give up. I just want to encourage you on today.
But we know that, you know, going through and trying to break barriers, being a trailblazer, an overcomer, being a leader, going against the odds is not an easy task, especially for teenagers, because everybody wants, and a lot of people define being cool with negative behavior, and that's not the case. And so, you know, this man that's coming on is going to shed some light on what he's trying to do to help pull those diamonds out, to help the people, you know, the youth get back on track. And, you know, we got some very, really, really tough youth out there that have been through a lot. And, you know, we need all the help we can get for anybody that wants the mentorship or, you know, that doesn't work in the educational system. But I do want to let people know that Diamonds in the Rough, Talk to Me Media, for our column, just celebrated on the 5th another anniversary, 5 years and almost 7,000 in readership. Also, today is my anniversary of overcoming and breaking a barrier that was in my life with addiction. And I just thank God, because it was nothing but the grace of God. Today is 9 years alcohol-free. And I know that was only Him strengthening me and giving me the ability to be able to do that. So I just praise God for that. The first scripture is coming from Micah 2:13. It says, "Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord Himself will guide you." And we're also going to be coming from 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." And I know that is a true, true word, because it is not easy breaking any type of habit, addiction, whether it's shopping too much, whether it's overeating, whether it's gossiping, whether it's lying, whether it's, someone thieving, whatever your situation or concern may be, but it's possible. And if you really want in your heart, God knows your heart. And He'll see you through it, you know. So I just want to encourage everybody. It's been 8 years for me being celibate. And I know that God can do it. And if He can peel back layers that I have had in my life and putting me on a better path, I'm not complete. I never said I was. But putting me on a better path, He can do it for you. Ephesians 4:22-24 says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And, you know, accepting God in your heart, believing that He is the Son of God, He is our Savior, that He came, He died for you, and that He loves you. And believing that in your heart and confessing it with your mouth, Romans 10:9-11, you can also accept Christ into your heart. And nothing is magical, and things just don't happen overnight. You know, God is God. He can do what He want to do. So sometimes things take a little bit longer to break off of us and for us to be able to move forward. But there are people out there that really do care and really want to help you, and you need to hook up to one of those people to help you move forward in that. Also, I just want to give some announcements. Please get my e-books, purchase them. You can go to amazon.com/author/Sheree Humphrey. Also, like I said, we're celebrating 5 years for the column Talk to Me on the Bridgeport Christianity Examiner. The next episode coming up will be Poetically Speaking, very special young lady. She happens to be very bright and gifted in the area of writing and doing poetry. And she is also my little cousin, one of my former students, and from my hometown. So she's going to be coming on and sharing some of her poems She, I believe, is in the ninth grade now, but maybe she'll correct me when she gets on the show on the 26th. So tune in, have your children to listen to that. It may be encouraging for them. Also, Promises Banquet 6, The Twist, will be coming. We have auditions that are going to be coming up soon for A Star Is Born, and that happens every single year, the annual talent showcase and competition. So get your children involved. I'm going to play a little bit of Rose That Grew From the Concrete a little later on, but right now I want to let you listen to Aretha Franklin's song Rose, and then I will be tuning back in with you to give you a little bit more information about Mr. Perez, and he can be introduced, and you will get to hear exactly what he does in the community. I wish I could play the whole song, but I don't want to waste too much time. That was Rose by Aretha Franklin. And we're talking about a rose that grew from the concrete. This is Talk to Me Radio. And I am Minister Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. And I just want to read to you a little bit about Street Safe. And then I'm going to let Mr. Perez tell you exactly what his program is about and what he does. Street Safe Bridgeport is a street-based non-law enforcement program focusing on reducing group, gang, and gun violence among youth while providing positive opportunities for those who are interested in changing their futures. And so that is just the introduction of what his program is. I'm going to click him in right now so he can talk to you all.
Hey, how you doing, Sharif?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
I'm well, I'm well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. You know, when I first heard about this program, it was when I was covering the event for the mayoral address that took place in the summer. And then, you know, had the opportunity to hear you share about this program again. And I think it is so, so needed and relevant for the area of Bridgeport in particular. So could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and the program?
Sure. I'll start with myself real quick, just a little brief overview. So once again, my name is Feliciano Perez. I'm the program coordinator at Street Safe. More on a personal level, I'm a native New Yorker. I moved out here to Connecticut really simply because both me and my wife ended up gaining employment over here. But as far as working with youth, actually my experiences kind of date back when I used to be a direct care worker with at-risk youth in a residential treatment facility in New York. From there, I found out that there was something lacking there. You know, the services for youth were really lacking compared to adults. So I ended up moving forward and becoming a clinician, a substance abuse clinician, right there in Stanford. Fast forward some more from there, I ended up going back into school to pursue my psychology degree, and I came across a position over here at StreetSafe that involved working with at-risk youth, and I hopped on it because I'm a firm believer that, you know, I know it's cliche to say that the youth are our future, but in essence it really is. So I just want to be able to do my part and also the program to really help these individuals.
Yes, and I think that's great. And I just want to say thank you for anybody that has not said thank you to you, because it's not an easy job, especially pulling children that are at risk and from certain areas in the community and trying to pull them out and show them a better lifestyle and lead them on another path. You know, they're going to fight against the grain sometimes, you know, and, you know, you have to be really dedicated and focused. But if you love what you do and, you know, you're doing it with a proper heart, you know, you're going to reach somebody. And like I said, you can't reach everybody, but at least you can reach, you know, a few. And so tell me a little bit more about your approach, your direct intervention, and the type of case management work that you do.
Right. So basically, you know, at StreetSafe, what, you know, you kind of really gave a little overview that it is a basically a community-based non-law enforcement program. And when dealing with youth, especially at risk in the urban communities, that is actually very important because there is this thought process among the youth where there is no trust when it comes to law enforcement. So our approach is we have outreach workers, you know, saying that are from the community that really know the ins and outs, that have, you know, faced struggles when they were younger and so on. So we kind of come at it that way to really try to build trust with the youth. Once that trust is established, the next phase of it is they come in and they see me and we do an intake process to really help them, guide them with what their goals are, what are their interests, what do they aspire to be. And from there, we start to formulate really what's called a service plan. You know, and there's constant follow-up. There's, you know, connecting them with resources. You know, many of the things that we do, we help youth with education, employment, job readiness. If there are some mental health issues, guide them to appropriate services. So really, we kind of tackle it from a holistic approach because we understand that it's not just one issue that this youth may be having. The other key component is the families. You know, and we try to really help the family as a whole. But as you had mentioned earlier, at times you may, you know, get some of that resistance.
So is there a spiritual aspect to your program? Because you said it's a holistic experience. So do you teach them you know, faith-based skills and tools to help them spiritually, because it's a spiritual battle out here. You know, we may see the outcome. Family, all these components you mentioned are very important because we can't just say that these kids are responsible for the whole behavior that they've been displaying, because a lot of it is stuff that they've been learning all their life. Some of it may not be, but for the most part, these are things that they see. These are things that they feel that are acceptable because this is what may be operating and what may be the norm in the home. But is there a spiritual aspect as well to the program?
Well, I will say this. So, for example, two of our outreach workers are heavily entrenched in a faith-based organization. So that is, you know, brought up to them. Now, it's not forced upon the youth, but if the youth is seeking that and is willing to really, like, you know what, let me learn a little more about this. Let me try to get some sort of, you know, spiritual healing or spiritual cleansing, then two of our outreach workers actually bring them there and really kind of, you know, explain certain things to them. And I have to say, of the few youth that have been introduced, those youth are doing extremely well. So it goes to say that spiritual component, faith-based, whatever, you know, you want to call it, does have a heavy impact on that.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, because, and not to mention the fact that, then, you know, because in the public schools, you know, you did prayers taken out of school, you can't kind of interject that spiritual piece in there. And I have a problem with that because Diamonds in the Rough is faith-based. That's what this program was founded on, and the Word of God. And, you know, to be able to work outside of the school system with somebody who's at risk is a completely different dynamic than working mm-hmm. with a youth that is in the school system, and there's certain guidelines and things that need to be done. And you have certain restrictions that you can't do and can't utilize. Because I know a lot of children, I can name at least 15 kids on my hand right now that would benefit from this program and really need to be in this program before they go down a road that involves juvenile detention, being locked up or being on parole or things of that nature, because they need more than just the schoolwork during the day. They need to be able to, like you said, the mental health piece. There's some kids sitting there. Teachers are not aware of the mental health situation that the kids are going through and really don't know how to deal with that, especially if you have 5 or 6 students with mental health issues in one particular class. So what is it that can be done about this type of thing?
Well, you know, and that's a very good question. And, you know, that's always been a long-standing debate, this whole mental health thing, you know, and, you know, they're trying to get it right and stuff like that. You know, what I will say is this, is that there are a lot of different services for mental health. I will say that. The problem is for example, getting some of these appointments are challenging. So let's say you do an intake with a youth who, you know, is displaying these, you know, mental health symptoms. It is not so easy just to be able to get that appointment, you know what I'm saying, to that psychiatrist because of waiting lists and stuff like that. And these are some of the struggles that my program has faced, and I'm sure, you know, we're not the only program that faces this, but it's really about informing. You know, when we're talking about mental
right.
health and especially the youth, you know, does the youth really understand what bipolar is, you know what I'm saying, or what this is? It becomes a little tricky. Not only informing the youth, informing the families, and really informing anyone who is connected with this youth to provide the best support system for that individual, you know.
Absolutely.
And so what I do is I speak to the youth. I try to give them, you know what I'm saying, the real basic level of information on some of these different issues. But again, we're dealing with the youth, and one of the things with youth is they don't have the foresight. So a 15-year-old is not thinking about, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from
right.
now, maybe versus
right.
an adult. So it does become challenging. It definitely becomes
right.
challenging. And
absolutely.
Then the other thing is they have to want it, you know, and that's the other thing. They have to want and see that, you know what, this is impacting my life, and I need to do something about this. And this is where we come
yeah.
in to try to encourage, try to motivate, try to give them different jewels and carrots and be like, listen, you were in a situation that was, you know, unhealthy or risky or whatever. Now you're making progress. Hey,
right.
maybe we may want to look at this mental health. Are you willing to maybe just sit down and speak to someone? You know, so
right.
it's taking baby steps until
yes.
they get it.
Yes, absolutely, and the family is definitely a critical piece in that because first of all, the parents have to recognize that something is not right, and then they
absolutely.
Have to take the step and be accountable for what is going on and to make themselves available to people who are running these types of programs and to the teachers to try to get their kids on the right track. But if you have parents that are not willing, and maybe some, you know, situations with work and things of that nature, but you have some out there that are really not willing. They're not taking account for their actions and their role in raising their child's life and having them to put their foot down and say, look, you know, enough is enough. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to help you. And so when you don't have that, you know, how do you get through to a child who you only see but for a short time during the day if they come to class and if they're willing to listen when they get there? Because you got about 25 to maybe close to 30 kids in one class. You know, so how do you get these kids to be able to, you know, pay attention and to see what is going on with their own life, you know, when the parent is not even interested in speaking to administrators or speaking to the teachers on staff?
No, that's a very good question. And, you know, I have to say, in my experiences, I'm only speaking of my experiences, that to me has to be one of the most challenging and in a sense heartbreaking thing, because especially when you see a youth that, you know, has dreams, that really wants to do something with themselves and really change their lives over, but yet they're lacking that familial support, they're lacking that family support. So what we do is we become that individual's advocate. We go to bat for that individual. We go to great lengths, you know, because here's the thing. If the reality is this, if a youth is not feeling that support at home, that love, that nurturing, they're going to seek it out somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You know, they're just going to seek it out somewhere else. And
yes,
at times they're going to seek that out in a negative manner. That's not going to be helpful to them. So what we try to do is not to become that individual's parent, but to be able to gain that trust to say, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you help yourself.
Right.
You know, and keep on, you know, showing them, like, listen, this is about you. This is about elevating you. This is about making sure that you make it in life, that you can,
right,
you know, reach for your goals. So that's, in a sense, how we counter that when there's a lack of family support. Our outreach workers, you know, I have to say, are some really highly motivated, passionate individuals. I just want to give an example of the passion on one of our outreach workers. There was a situation where youth was in a pretty volatile situation, out of town, not even in Bridgeport, out of town, calls up the outreach worker, 3 o'clock in the morning. That outreach worker got out of his bed, drove, and made sure that youth was out of harm's way.
And that's a wonderful thing, because they've already established, they can establish a rapport and a relationship, and that's what is needed for some of these certain special circumstances. Because urban life, you have this in urban life, you have these mentalities, and so, you know, you have to have people that can be able to do that and to be able to establish that relationship outside of school, and not just in school but outside of school, that can take that time. And I think that's a beautiful thing, and I just want to encourage you to continue on with what you're doing, and all of the people that are helping you to do it, you know, is just appreciated and is certainly needed. I'm hoping and praying that some of the students that I have that need this program will be able to participate in some type of way, and also to get these black men and the ethnic community, the Spanish people, Mexican people, everybody out there, these men, because there's too many women out here that are you know, having to fill in too many roles. And even as an educator, you're having to be the nurturer, the counselor, the nurse, whatever it is, and all these different things. And on top of it, try to teach a lesson in the middle of discipline. So there's got to be some more men on board. There's got to be some more teachers that are male, so that these children can have that male figure and that male piece in their life that is positive, just like you, Mr. Perez, and family that's going to be able to say, I want to support you. I need help. How can I do this? I want to be a part of this. So is there any last-minute things you want to say? We have about a minute left.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that because my colleague, Kenny Jackson, is constantly professing that. And we're actually in the talks and works of actually starting up like a fatherhood type initiative to add as another component to our program.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Yes, that's beautiful. Like the 100 black men in Stanford, you know, that participate mm-hmm. and do a lot of different extracurricular activities outside. I think that really is one of the major things that is truly missing in the African-American community, though, than any other, even Spanish community is needed more so because you have an abundance, more than 50% lacking that is in the household. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on. And hopefully we can stay in touch because I know definitely I'm going to be inquiring more about your services. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a wonderful night.
All righty, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Mr. Perez of Street Safe. If you want more information, please go to the website. Please make contributions if you're able to Diamonds in the Rough. You can go to paypal.com and look up Sheree Humphrey, and the email address is clhumphrey@rocketmail. We need your assistance in trying to reach out to other people in the community, women, children. We also have a piece called Running Into the Light, which will be starting up very, very soon for the Bible Group for Women to tackle that end so that people can receive their healing. And so this is a faith-based program, and that's what Diamonds in the Rough does, along with the other aspects that we try to address as well. So if you want more information, please give me a call, 203-952-9807. Visit our website, DITR, findingthespiritofme.org, or go to the City of Stanford's website on the youth page and click us to get more information. You can email me at 42DITR@gmail. I'm going to be playing Nikki Giovanni's and Tupac's Rose That Grew From the Concrete. Until next time, thank you.
Try to plant something in the concrete, you know what I mean? If it grow, and the rose petal got all kind of scratches and marks, you're not going to say, damn, look at all the scratches and marks on the rose that grew from the concrete. You're going to be like, damn, a rose grew from the concrete? Same thing with me, you know what I mean? I grew out of all this instead of saying, damn, he did this. It's like, damn, he grew out of that. He came out of that. That's what they should see, you know what I mean? All the time,
crack in the concrete, proving nature's laws wrong, it learned how to walk without having feet. Funny it seems, but by keeping its dreams, it learned to breathe fresh air. Long live the rose that grew from concrete, where no one else even cared. No one else even cared. The rose that grew from concrete.
Did you hear about the rose that grew from a crack in the concrete? Proving nature's laws wrong, it learned to walk without having feet. Funny it seems, but by keeping its dreams, it learned to breathe fresh air. Long live the rose that grew from concrete, when no one else even cared.
Keeping all this dreams, proving nature's laws wrong, it learned how to walk without.